One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour.
We're coming now.
Welcome to Wrestling Daft. It's the Marks. It's episode 3. It's your second dose of Wrestling Daft. You know, that dose of Cal Paul you quite enjoyed as a child, but then you get that second spoon rammed into you, which you don't enjoy as much. That's kind of what we do here on Wrestling Daft the Marks. My name is John. I'm the producer of Wrestling Daft, and tagging with me, as ever, a man bigger than Jeff Hardy's list of DUIs, it's Big Alex.
How are you, John? Please don't ask me to ram anything in your mouth for the rest of this podcast, please.
No, that's okay. We'll save that for later. And my God, it's the third man. And who's the third man?
It's Mabel.
It's Gary Cassidy, who's joined us in the studio. He normally does the news, and he's here with us in person.
Excellent. Hello, guys. It's great to actually be here and not be watching you through a tiny screen in my Beats headphones.
It's also good that the fact that Alex won't cut you off, because he does that all the time when you're on the screen.
I try it with John, but he just like mutes my mic halfway through, you know, because he's got that kind of power.
And I love the first time I just did that, then you actually both cut each other off as well. So this is going to go well. So before we get started, it was another pay-per-view weekend this weekend. And it was the last one on the road to WrestleMania. 5,000 miles of steel chain, a structure weighing 1 million tons. It was the Elimination Chamber. All those facts are just obviously made up, as they tend to do it on as well. So what did we think about this week's pay-per-view, Ice?
Well, before we start, I think it's important that we all have to mention the not safe for work moment that happened in the pre-show. So we all know I'm talking about a certain Mr. Danielson's testicles. And I would like to give a special shout out to the Sun for capturing him mid being suplexed off the top rope by Gulak and getting a shot directly there. And that was the first thing I saw of him.
The one great thing about that is I'm all for equality. They're not just doing the female wardrobe man.
It's time
get
for the
Daniel
guys.
Bryan's balls as well, straight there. So
do you reckon Drew Gulak said something before, like, Daniel, I'm going to hook your pants up a little bit, so just you make sure that you flash one of those nice wee testes.
Maybe he's just stealing something from Kid Fight and finish off with a tea bag. That's his new finisher. This is just the prelude to it.
Do you reckon it'd be the green tea bag? That's a
do you reckon this is the end of the PG era and this is like the official symbols, you know what I mean? It's
Vince just before, we're going back to the Attitude Era, boys. Daniel, you get your balls out this weekend.
So are we expecting XFL cheerleaders to rush the stage at the beginning of Raw next week then?
Potentially. So Elimination Chamber, what did you guys make of it?
For a pay-per-view in Philadelphia, the crowd were awful. Normally the Philly crowds are absolutely on fire. And I think it seemed to a lot of stem from that first match, the first chamber match, which was quite botchy. There was a couple of spots.
It was very botchy, yeah. The tag team, there was a lot of missed spots.
There was the big one off the top of the pod from miscellaneous house party member.
Randy Dorado. He was the Shooting Star Press. I don't know if you mean that, although it was the Hurricane Rana fake grand.
No, it was the Shooting Star Press, because they were just all hanging around in the middle of the ring.
Looking
you know?
Up.
Yeah, it was one of those classics. That
something's going to happen here. We'll just all look up and hope for the best.
No, it's not going to defend this, you know, small Mexican just flying through the air at us, you know. Just
I love the fact they were all just kind of looking up, and you see, like, John Morrison's like, looking up, right, are we all in position? Right, go on, mate, thumbs up.
It just felt like no one cared. And I think that feeling seemed to just carry through the whole pay-per-view.
I actually think it came earlier than that. So I looked at my phone, and I normally kind of miss the kickoff shows. I just look at my phone for them and find out what's going on. And then that guy that joins in for the show starting, inverted quotes, the show starting, because obviously it's already started. But I was like, what's this match? It's like Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins against the Viking Raiders.
Yeah.
I'm going, all right, so that's where we're going. It's one of those pay-per-views that nothing's really been announced for, and we're still getting things that are unannounced right up until the last minute. So I think the crowd was perplexed at that, and then that carried on.
I mean, I think it was you on Twitter, Gary, said, when was the last pay-per-view you can imagine there was no World Championship or Universal Championship on the line?
There was nothing.
You know, it's the Saudi shows gets in the way of it, isn't it? You know, it just ruins everything.
Well, the other thing is, have they not now done Profits versus the Buddy Disciples like three times in two weeks? So, I mean, no wonder no one cares about it anymore. And has Kevin Owens interfered in every single match? Do you know, it's... Yeah, it just seems like they've ran out of ideas and booked themselves into a corner.
I did read an article and I actually thought it's a good point. They should put the Elimination Chamber later in the year. You know, in that kind of back end of the year when it's SummerSlam, it's that kind of lull after SummerSlam. I think that's actually... I mean, I like the Elimination Chamber. I like the concept of it. You know, it's... you know, unlike Hell in a Cell, which I don't think should have its own pay-per-view.
Yeah, Elimination Chamber,
yeah. Yeah, Elimination Chamber, I think, should have it. And I actually read an article saying that you should put it to the back end of the year, which I think is probably a better idea.
Just get rid of Hell in a Cell and replace it with Chamber.
That's what I was going to say, replace it with that and have the title shot happening at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, yeah, because if there's nothing on the line, I mean, fair enough, it's like a number one contender shot or whatever it is. The tag titles, obviously, were on the line. But, you know, it means nothing. You need to have the title on the line if you're doing the Elimination Chamber, in my opinion.
Well, I think the other problem is it comes back to the gimmick pay-per-view problem, doesn't it? Like, that you've got to stack the card around that gimmick match regardless of your storylines going on around it. And for some reason, they don't seem to know what the hell their next pay-per-view is. So they just seem to just screw themselves up, really, don't they?
Any positives from the pay-per-view?
Well, I liked the concept of the Baszler match, even though I know that everyone else hated it. I think watching it back, because, you know, I didn't watch it live, I could see where the crowd... There was a lot of just Shayna standing around in the middle of that cell, really, wasn't it? Like, it was more of a waiting room than an elimination chamber, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But the concept of having someone, like, just go through everyone was great. Just wasn't maybe executed very well.
Mm. I would definitely agree with that, because I think there was so many people moaning about how it's predictable that Shayna Baszler's going to win, but people were saying that about the Royal Rumble. So I'm going, well, it needs to be predictable at some point to actually get where we're going to go, which is the Becky Lynch match. But yeah, they done it perfectly in that match with me. Apart from the waiting about, they should have maybe timed it a wee bit better. But in terms of just having her run through everybody, made history as the first person to ever beat every other competitor in the Elimination Chamber. I'm going, I like that, but... Actually, it's not going to be going down well here. I liked the pay-per-view.
Oh, really?
Why I liked it is because I had really low expectations
and
going into
drunk.
The pay-per-view. Well,
you were drunk.
I'd had a couple of beers, but no, I just had very low expectations. And I'm like, whatever they do, it's going to be better than the Eric Rowan Spider for Raw. So I was like, it's probably going to be okay. I didn't like the fact that there was, like I did say about the no champions defending. I've gone, when's the last time that happened? Turns out it was TLC, but we did have Becky Lynch in the tag team title match, and we did have Bray Wyatt, not as the Fiend, in a match not for the title. So it was the first time in years that we've not had any of the main champions, which I just thought was a bit weird. So it felt like a nothing pay-per-view, but enjoyable nonetheless.
I have to say, I liked Daniel Bryan versus Drew Gulak, and I want to see more of that. Aside from more of Daniel Bryan, I don't want to see any more of Daniel Bryan.
Yes, you do.
I don't want to see any more.
Before we jump off the Elimination Chamber, I think we have to give a small congratulations to John in that side of the desk, because not only did he predict Sami Zayn winning the IC title, but you also predicted the... what was the other thing?
Undertaker coming down.
Oh, the Undertaker coming down for Styles. So, I mean, that was two good out-of-the-blue booking calls that you got, right?
Go. Vince, call me.
And there was one final Elimination Chamber thing, I don't know if you noticed, that actually happened after the pay-per-view, and it was Daniel Bryan's backstage interview.
No, I didn't see that.
So it cut an incredible promo, which I think is probably one of the best, fitting that I say it the day, one of the best promos that I've seen for a long time. But he mentioned a couple of words in there that was kind of piqued my interest, and he was saying that he felt alive because he was fighting with blood and guts. Which is coincidentally the name of an AEW match that's happening in a couple of weeks that was based on a Vince McMahon quote from last year. So I was like, I maybe has been fed that line at some point and told to stick that in there somewhere. That was a wee interesting point post-pay-per-view.
So there you go. Decent Elimination Chamber. Gary, a big fan. Me and Alex, not so much. So on the show today, we'll be looking back at the shows running up to Elimination Chamber and Raw. There on Monday, we'll be burying and putting over stuff from them. Gary Cassidy with us in the studio today. We'll give you all the latest news from the business, and we'll be taking a trip to Fantasy Booking Island, where Alex, you're booking it this week, and I believe you're going for the AEW's Death Triangle booking.
I am. I'll admit, I was halfway down a booking with that to do with Daniel Bryan's testicles and a new gimmick, and then I thought. We don't need Joey Ryan in WWE, so let's patch that and leave that for another day.
Fair enough. And one half of Scotland's greatest ever tag team, Davey Blaze, is going to be on the 10 count telling us all his favourite things about wrestling.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
Right, it's my turn to cut a promo this week. Alex cut a promo last week.
A bad promo, you might add.
Yeah, and it's my turn now. I've already went through your man in the Everton top at the NXT show. He's getting on. But what I'd like to cut a promo on is fucking cage matches. Right, now here's my rant and my promo about cage matches, right? You've got a steel structure. It surrounds the ring. Okay, we had two cage matches on NXT last week. There is, however, a big flaw in cage matches, and it's the fucking door, right? It has bugged me for years, and just watching NXT last week, it just fueled my fire, right? There's a door on the cage, so why, oh why, do people try and go over the top of it? Why, oh why, do people try and pin people in the ring? It's a door. You open it. You close it. It's not hard to win a match if you open the fucking door and walk out of it. Right? So here's my news for you, wrestling world. Okay? If you're going to do a cage match, make it a fucking cage. I put my hamster in a cage. That couldn't open the door. Close the door on the cage. The only way to get out of the cage is like my little hamster, Jimmy, is escape from it. Get through a bar, crawl over the top of it. The hamster can't open the door, and neither should a wrestler. So, stop cage matches, or just stop putting a fucking door on the cage.
Or buy a padlock.
Buy a padlock. Thank you. It's all about the money, money, money. We don't need no money. Yeah, we do need money. That's the lyric. We would need your money. Join our Patreon service. You can get lots of great content.
Unless you're wearing an Everton shirt, in which case, please don't join our Patreon.
Then you need a new t-shirt.
Yeah, you and Everton top from NXT, you're banned from our Patreon, okay? You're banned. Anyway, in fact, no, you're not. We'll take your money as well.
Only top tier.
Patreon is a subscription service, if you don't know what it is, where we will offer you lots of extra Wrestling Daft content for you to consume. I've got a shout out to some of our patrons, some of the new ones we've got on board. Former Wrestling Daft listener champion, Jenny Lee Henderson, who coined the catchphrase, "Be like Jen." She signed up to the Patreon. Thank you, Jen. Alan DL, Quentin Thundersnow, which is actually a great wrestler name.
I hope that's his real name.
I hope so. Graham Ronnie and Stephen McQuarren have all signed up to our Patreon. Thank you for getting involved, guys. Lots of extra content up there, and I will go through the tiers for you right now. Patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. That is where you can get involved. Tier 1 will see you star as a Cruiserweight Champion, only $4 a month, which is about £3 in today's currency. Patron-only chat is available on that. You get ad-free versions of all the podcasts, full unedited version of Grado and Rab, and we'll leave in most of the mistakes that are in there. So there's a lot of libelous stuff goes into that sometimes as well when I forget to edit a libelous bit out. So you get the full unedited version on Tier 1, and you'll get bonus content from the show, which could be random stuff from videos from SWA to a tweet that Grado sent to R-Truth. So you'll get that on Tier 1. Tier 2 is your Intercontinental Champion, which is $10 a month, about £7.70. You'll get everything that you had in Tier 1, plus you get the all in important video version of the podcast, where you can see Rab and Grado and all the glory. Grado sitting there picking his nose, and Rab with his Commodore hat and very fetching man bag. You can see that by signing up for Tier 2, and you'll get a bonus episode once a month. Now, we're talking about the bonus episode for this month, and we're thinking about doing a Wrestling Daft preview show, so you'll probably get that this month by signing up for Tier 2.
I'm assuming you mean a WrestleMania preview show.
What did I say?
A Wrestling Daft preview show.
WrestleMania.
Which I thought this already was.
Yes, WrestleMania preview show. You'll get that on there this month. Tier 3, World Heavyweight Champion, $20 a month. This is for the high roll out there. You'll get free tickets for every live event, which we've not actually announced yet, But we will do soon at some point.
Stop dangling that carrot, John.
It
Stop
will
dangling
happen. That carrot it will happen. I'm in top level conversations at the moment about a live event, so we will get that on the go soon. You'll get free tickets for that if you sign up for Heavyweight Champion. Plus, if you're there for 3 months as a Heavyweight Champion, you'll get a free T-shirt. Gary over there is spotting a Margaret Eyre the Fiend T-shirt. He's got involved with that. That's our top seller, Gary. I am wearing... I'm a Mark, and Alex.
I'm not wearing a wrestling-related T-shirt at all.
Very
so
disappointing.
I'm sorry, guys.
Very disappointing. So get involved with our Patreon. Get loads of great free content. Or for, did I say free? No, you've got to pay for it. get loads of content right now. Sign up right now. Patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We'd love to welcome you to our roster. So every week on the show, we're going to look at the big wrestling shows and basically buddy and put over all the good things and bad from them. And this week, we're joined for the first time by one of our Wrestling Daft patrons and fellow Mark, Neil.
How's it going?
Thank you for coming and joining us in the studio, Neil. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
This is what you can get if you become a patron of Wrestling Daft. You can come and join us in the studio or via FaceTime or Skype. The only thing is, and the only caveat for this is, that you have to do in the buddies and put overs from SmackDown. So, Neil, we appreciate,
okay. Thanks, Neil.
Appreciate your time.
You saved us all this week.
Taking 2 hours to watch SmackDown, so we really appreciate that. So let's go back to the start of the wrestling week for us, and that was the Wednesday Night Wars. And Alex, give us two buddies and put overs from AEW.
Well, before I start, as always, please forgive my Spanish accent, but my first put over has to be Triangular de la Muerte. Right. And yes, I'm going to try and pronounce that in Spanish every week. For those who didn't see, we had essentially a new faction was formed on AEW between Pac and the Lucha Brothers, three of my favourite wrestlers in the world. And so expect me to talk about this for many, many weeks to come.
Right, okay.
It's also inspired a little bit of fantasy booking later.
Right, okay, looking forward to that. So that's just the total put over for this week, yeah.
Ah, no, yeah, they were great. I think it's a really smart pairing. I think at the moment... Pac's a little bit lost his direction after his losses to Omega, so I think he needs to kind of reestablish himself. And the Luchas have been just kind of floating around ever since their rivalry with the Bucks, and they are arguably the best team on the roster. So it's good to see them having something to do.
All right, okay. And your second, your second put over?
A certain Mr. Jake the Snake Roberts.
Oh,
I mean, how could you not put it over? Like, he was fantastic, wasn't he? He was cutting.
Oh my God. That has inspired our list of Wrestling Daft this week. We'll get onto that later on. But what a promo, Gary.
The best ending to a promo I've seen in a long time.
Oh, that mic
one
throw
line in the mic throw and turn away. I was like, right, I wasn't sure. Like, the second I seen Jake the Snake, he's had a lot of problems in the past. He's kind of thanked DDP for saving his life through DDP yoga and stuff. Yeah. I'm going, we're probably never going to see him in the ring again. Like, the documentary was great. Seeing him back, I was, I'm not sure if this is a good idea. By the end, I was like, I need to see more of him, see him every week, and I can't wait to see who the person that he's going to bring in is.
It's Brody Lee, isn't it?
I think so, yes.
I was going to say a little bonus question for everyone. Who is his mystery man? Well, see, I'm going to disagree with the two of you. I think it's going to be Lance Archer, because I think they've already announced Archer. I think Lee will be a bit more of a surprise.
Right, okay.
So I think Archer's the one who's going to come in with Snake, is my opinion. And also, can I just bring everyone's memory back to that great promo we did pre Double or Nothing with like the poker when he was the poker dealer and he was smoking the tabs.
Man.
Yeah. It was great, yeah. So I'm glad they've kind of carried him across.
I do want to see Jake the Snake, DDT, Dean Ambrose, stroke John Moxley. That would be good, wouldn't it? That would be good paragon.
And then tell him off for stealing his movie.
Yeah, like. That would be cool. That would be cool. So yeah. All up for that. That promo was unbelievable. We'll get onto that later on.
While I'm on Jake,
right?
Unfortunately,
okay. Oh, is this a buddy? Is it
this
going
is
for
the
a buddy?
Berry.
Right, okay.
So the Berry is Jake the Snake's hairdresser. Because, I mean, what the hell was going on with that hair? It was truly horrific. I mean, we're more in my bad books than Kenny Omega's tailor, I'll tell you that.
Oh,
it's
my
just
God.
So bad.
Just like, for clarification, was it a mullet with one side not shaved? Was it one side shaved with grey and then the rest is long?
I couldn't tell. Like, it was perplexing in every sense of the word, and I'm still kind of recovering from it, really, to be honest.
I'm going to bury you. Burying hairdressers and tailors. Jesus God almighty, this is a wrestling podcast.
Exactly, and it's all about your look, John.
Right.
It's all
least
about
though,
your look.
At least they took the attention away for Cody's neck tattoo.
Let's
just not get on Cody's neck tattoo. That's an entire podcast to itself, isn't it?
Your second bury.
My second bury is obviously going to be something to do with the women's division. And it's
as usual,
but this one's slightly different. This one's, it's Britt Baker's commentary again, but it's more the fact they booked a commentary segment to go during a squash match. Like, what's kind of the point in that?
Right.
Because Big Squall obviously did her squash. The match was less than 2 minutes. So Britt comes out, comes on to commentary, does like a minute of commentary and leaves. It just seems a bit silly to me and a bit pointless.
Okay.
So, but
yeah, fair enough. Match of the night.
Ooh, it's a tough one really, isn't it? I'm not sure actually the match of the night. I think it has to be the main event really, doesn't it? The kind of Moxley, Darby versus Chris and Sammy thing, because it was booked really well and it was a great kind of close of the show as well, wasn't it? Like, it was just terrific.
Yeah, yeah. Right, cool. That's a good one for AEW. I did NXT this week. So we'll start off with the putovers. Now, I did this when I was drunk, right?
As I think you should read everyone a brief selection of your drunken wrestling notes, because they were hilarious.
This is what I wrote when I was drunk on Friday night. The kids and the wife were in bed, and I sat and watched NXT. So my first putover, as written by Drunken John, was, Dream locking himself in the case with coke was a nice bit of booking. Now, I'm pretty sure that's meant to read, Dream locking himself in the cage with coal was a nice bit of booking.
I think I prefer the first one.
Again,
that's
a different thing
altogether.
It's just more proof that WWE is becoming less PG. You know, they've got drugs on the show and everything now.
Exactly. So I thought that was brilliant. I loved the fact that he sacrificed the match and the win, locked himself in a coal. That was cool. That was good. I've not seen something like that before, so that was really good.
It was a nice shot seeing Dream with a belt, but it's kind of, I'm really confused as who Cole's next challenge is going to be now.
I love this because NXT done it before when it was Ciampa, Balor, and Lee.
Yeah.
And I love having like everyone wanting to, because everybody should want the title.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Man, just have so many people in it, and then it also takes away the thing that everybody says about it's predictable when this happens.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely not.
No, exactly.
I can see a multi-man being the main event WrestleMania weekend, because I think so. They've had a lot of one-on-ones in the main events, and I think we're all, I don't want to say bored of it, but we have seen the NXT main event Uber Neofall match quite a lot recently, so I want them to do something a bit different.
Right, I'll be interested to see. I mean, the one thing, and I echo this with Rab, but we did it last week, was just the booking of Dream in this whole kind of tweener, baby face, heel thing, because he's not getting a lot of sympathy for a baby face, you know, but hey-ho. Anyway, so that was my first putover. Second putover, just Shotzi Blackheart. I know she got beat. She did get beat, but that tank's just amazing.
Why has no one done that before?
It's just great. Just driving down the kid's tank. Why has no one ever done that before? Amazing.
How does it compare to Rusev's one, though? Is it better or worse than Rusev's tank?
It's better. It's certainly better than the DX tank, which wasn't actually a tank.
It was a Jeep.
But was a Jeep with a put-on bit of guttering as a gun.
So, I also don't think there's enough space in Shotzi's one to do what Rusev said him and Lana done in their time. So,
probably enough space for me right now. Right, burying this week. Tegan Knox's entrance theme. It's just
bland,
shit.
Bland.
Wrestler 101. Bland wrestling fodder.
Do you know what she needs? I'm trying to think of like stereotypical Welsh music, and for some reason, like, and what, Stereophonics?
No, some sort of male choir singer to the ring.
That's a hard Knocks life.
That's the one right there. And it's not as if WWE can't afford to buy the royalties for it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, just get CFO to do a remix, it'll be fine.
Oh, no, they're gone.
They're
permanently gone. Sadly.
Okay. And this
first Jim, then CFO.
Is Jim gone as well?
Yeah, Jim went long ago.
Jim at least by CFO dollar sign, whatever it is at the end of CFO. And then,
I didn't realise that. This is why the themes are going downhill.
I don't think they've had
Get Jimmy Hart back writing them, that's what I'm saying. Right, so here's my buddy. And this has pissed me off for a long time in NXT. And I've had it. That arsehole in the front row with the Everton top at every single NXT show. What a dickhead.
I am desperate to interview Zach Gibson to ask about him.
Oh, he is the biggest arsehole. Right now, like, fair play to him. He's front row at NXT every fucking week.
It's probably quite cheap to get a weekly thing at Full Sail. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know, but he just annoys me. I don't know why. He turns up in his Everton top every single week. It could be home, it could be away, but he's in an Everton top every single week and he fucking does my head in.
I can, if you want, I can hook up an interview with him because he follows me on Twitter.
Really? Get him on the show.
Get him tagged on the release.
I'm cutting a promo on him right now. Get him on the show. I demand it.
I'll tag him when we put this out.
Do it. Right, so anyway, that is my buddies from NXT this week.
So hang on, you shouted me for burying non-wrestling personnel and you're burying a member of the crowd.
That, he's an arsehole. I hope he doesn't listen to this.
I only want to say I don't like Greeks, I'm a Liverpool fan. So that's my only buy.
Does that mean Zach Gibson's a face to you?
Yes. Yeah? Yes, of course.
Match of the week, I have to put the cage match over.
Which one?
I'll go for the Dream Roderick Strong. I thought it was really good. I enjoyed that. So, yes, that is my match of the week. Right, let's move on to our mark. So, Neil, before we get into SmackDown, we need to ask, as a fellow mark, what are your wrestling credentials?
I have a completed Merlin 1991 sticker album.
Solid. That's good for me. That's good for me.
And Neil, just if you ever run out of money to pay for your Patreon subscription, sell that. I'm sure John will more than happily take it.
It's in very good nick. I have looked on eBay to see how much it's worth.
And can I ask a question? What was the last sticker that you needed to fill that book? Because you always remember that last sticker that you needed to fill the book.
It was Hawkshead.
Okay, let's get into your buddies and put overs from SmackDown.
So the first thing would be the gauntlet match with I want to put over Heavy Machinery. I think Ortiz is fantastic. He's a great wrestler. He got a great pop when he got tagged in at the end before they got put out. He single-handedly, Heavy Machinery, just he carries them. His moves with Against the New Day and the Usos was fantastic. So definitely putting over Heavy Machinery. The other put over is Sami Zayn on the mic. I think he's fantastic. He came out to the NWO. He was great on the mic. Braun Strowman came out and destroyed everyone, but he's definitely, I wouldn't have put anybody else on the mic from the guys that came out. Cesaro got absolutely smashed into the set. He got hit pretty hard, so that was good to see. And Goldberg got booed.
Yes! Boom every week! Boom every week!
So I don't think the fans are too happy about him being the champion.
All right. I have to say, Otis, again, I think... How long is Tucker going to be on his coattails?
I don't think Tucker's ever could get a singles run, let's be honest.
I think how much of a shame would it be if Tucker and Angelo Dawkins were to fall by the wayside? Because I think I love both of them. I think Tucker's like a somersault off the pod. Elimination Chamber was great. I love Angelo Dawkins, but man, I think Otis, I'm not going to say Otis is a future WWE champion, but the storytelling's great. I think Montez Ford could be a future WWE champion.
I'm getting 100%. My crystal ball out right here. And I'm seeing in the future Angelo Dawkins and Tucker chasing after the 24/7
belt. They could be the C team. They could like go into a little rivalry with the B team.
Poor lad.
Well, while we're talking about SmackDown, right? Am I the only one? I'm going to jump forward to Elimination Chamber, but Neil mentioned Sami Zayn, right?
Yeah.
Am I the only one who noticed that Sami's lost all his wrestling gear and he turned up in like military trousers and...
That's because he's a liberator. He's the Che Guevara of wrestling, apparently, now. Or Fidel Castro, Che Guevara.
That kind of actually makes sense, because I just spent that entire match thinking, why isn't he wearing his wrestling tights? You know what I mean? He's a former NXT champion. We all know he's got them.
He's also grown his hair and beard and now looks a lot like Seth Rogen, which is...
I did always think that.
Well, looks more like Seth Rogen.
So what are you buddying from SmackDown then, Neil?
So I'm going to buddy two different storylines that are going on at the moment.
Right.
One is Sheamus. So they made a big promo of him coming back after injury, and they've not really done anything with the storyline. I don't really know where they're going with it. So that would be the first thing. And the other thing is The Fiend. So I loved The Fiend when we went and saw them in Glasgow. I loved that part of the show. I don't really know now with what's happened with Goldberg. And when he fights against John Cena, I don't really know where they're going to go with that. So I presume that he's going to beat John Cena, and then what happens? And then what is he going to go back to fight for the title? Or I don't really know what angle they're going for.
Yeah, I don't think many people, I don't think they know what the angle they're going for, to be honest.
They'll just shove him into a rivalry with Reigns immediately after WrestleMania and probably have him lose to Reigns to put Reigns over more or something.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting on Sheamus, though. Where do you, just putting this out to the studio, where do you think Sheamus is going to sit on the WrestleMania card? Is it Andre to the Giant Battle Royal, isn't it?
So I was hoping, again, I'll chuck my first name drop in here when I interviewed Sheamus back in January.
Take that up.
How long have we got to before I dropped it? But that was, no one has ever reinforced something in an interview more in the entirety of whoever I've interviewed than him saying, I want that Intercontinental Championship. So I actually thought Cesaro was going to win it at Elimination Chamber, and we were getting Sheamus and Cesaro at WrestleMania.
That would be good.
We've seen it so many times, but the dynamics have changed, having the bar and stuff, that I'd have been like, man, I want to see that.
It would have been a good payoff.
But I don't really care what he does at WrestleMania, as long as he's not against Apollo Crews or Shorty G, because I don't need to see those matches ever again.
But if he's in the Andre the Memorial Battle Royal, where will Apollo and Shorty be?
Shorty G will win that, because he's tiny. No, that is 100% of WWE thing to do.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, all the promo shots of Shorty G standing next to the Andre trophy. Yep, yeah, I can see it now.
Even enlarge the trophy to make it the same size as him. I'm going to claim that's what they're doing right now.
Oh, that's genius.
Good show. And did you have a match of the night from SmackDown?
I would probably say the Gauntlet match. I thought that was fantastic.
Okay.
I did like the story they told through it. Yeah. Although I think we all were a little bit surprised when Heavy Machinery took out the first three teams.
Everyone.
Yeah. Listen, thanks for coming in and doing SmackDown and drawing the short straw for us this week, Neil. Let's move on to Raw. Gary, what you got for us?
There is only one thing that I can put over, and it's Drew McIntyre smashing Eric Rowan's cage.
Yes!
Perfect example of WWE actually listening to the fans, because I don't know how many people buried that last week when I was looking on social media, but it was a lot. So I don't care that we waited 4 months to get the payoff of a really bad looking animatronic tarantula in the cage. The moment of Drew McIntyre squashing it, I think, makes him a bigger babyface than anything he's done with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
I think that puts him over. So I'm like, Drew McIntyre was going to just be, I'm putting over Drew McIntyre, but let's put it down to the cage. I think that's the best thing I've ever seen him smash that. And hopefully that's the end of the cage. Hopefully not the end of Rowan, but I think it might be. Hopefully it puts...
I did read that apparently that caused a lot of heat backstage, that spider did. So I can see Rowan just being buried for the next, like, up until Mania, essentially.
What do you mean causing heat? Was he just going around scaring people?
No.
Is that how he's causing
heat? No, I think the locker room had heat with the writing staff.
Oh, I don't think the locker room were happy about that.
I think it was more about the actual payoff. I think the general idea is fine.
The one thing I'll say, I'm glad there was a payoff, because obviously, like, the Liv Morgan, the Lana angle has not had a payoff, so I'm like, at least they paid it off, but I'm glad they had Drew.
That's because I was getting paid off in the main event of WrestleMania.
Second put over for you, Gary.
So this was a close one, but I've decided against something I'm going to bury a little part of. So the thing I actually went for my second put over is AJ Styles' promo. I know it's probably going to go down quite controversially. A lot of people loved it, a lot hated it. I was a bit torn on how realistic it got with it, but I think I love it, and I think I need to put it over. There was a few wee things in it. Obviously, I'm saying Undertaker's real name. That's always going to take me by surprise. So just the wrestling fan in me that still, obviously, I know that, you know, kayfabe is kind of dead. But that one wee bit, I was like, oh, that still got me. Mentioning the wife, that's always going to get a reaction from me. The main thing, yet again, WWE listening to fans, I think this goes hand in hand with the first putover, and mentioning the Roman Reigns Undertaker retirement at WrestleMania. The fact that he mentioned that, I'm like, man, this is great, and you've got me sold just because he's addressed so many points. One thing that I don't want to kind of nitpick at it, and I hope this is leading to something down the line, but he said he was literally going to put the nail in the coffin of the Undertaker's career. Obviously, literally would mean putting the nail in the coffin. I hope it's leading to a casket match.
Ooh. That would be good. Now, I'm going to put a question to you, which I talked about last week, was, do you think that Undertaker can carry that match at WrestleMania? Or, as I fancy booking
just put
over my own booking. Do you think it would be better served if Aleister Black was to tag with him?
Well, I actually think if you put Aleister Black, The Undertaker and Kane together for the Brothers of Mass Destruction to go against the OC, that would be a dream match there.
There you go.
And he's even named the faction. Yeah.
He's named the faction. Oh, well played, Gary. I wish I'd thought that last week. That was good. That's good. And what are your buddies, mate?
24/7 Championship.
Oh, here we go.
If this is what you're going to do with it, change the name. It's not a 24/7 Championship because it's being defended in the ring in a scheduled match.
It's like a TV title now, isn't it? It's the second week in a row they've defended it.
Right, so I was going to put these as two burials, but I'm sneaking another one in. So I'm putting them together. The 24/7 Championship and Riddick Moss. Having no rules about the 24/7 Championship is Riddick. Yes.
But he's the journalist.
Man, they're doing nothing for him or for the championship. It's going nowhere. Yeah. The main thing about that as well, that I took away from it, I'm going, Riddick Moss could be the best talent I've ever seen in the ring, but I wouldn't know it. I wouldn't care. He's like Apollo Crews. We know nothing about him. His finisher doesn't even have a name. The neckbreaker. They went, it's the neckbreaker. No, it's not even a neckbreaker.
It's not as if he's been in developmental for years that they've had time to name this.
Aye, so I need them to do something. I'm hoping they do something in terms of like a scramble match or something, or actually bring back a backstage segment. Yeah. The 24/7 Championship was really entertaining when R-Truth had it, when they'd done the wedding stuff.
Santa
stuff.
Maverick was all over it. Cool.
It provided entertainment, and now it is no longer entertaining. No.
Okay, right, fair enough. Watch the second, buddy.
So I said that this was something I was going to put over, but I've nitpicked one part of it to bury. MVP standing in the ring about to introduce the segment with Edge, and then the car drives round because Edge has just got to the arena and walks down. Was he sitting round the corner and went, oh wait, that's my cue, MVP, he's just went to the ring and called me out? Things that don't make sense. That's it. Like, there's so many things that WWE are doing that make a lot of sense that are good TV. That was not one of them.
Yeah.
If you've sent MVP out to the ring, you know Edge is in the building. Don't show him coming in a car 2 seconds later. I'll have the earlier today or something. I don't know. I hated it. I'm glad that the segment afterwards was so good because I hated that stuff. Right.
They need people need to get better at timekeeping. You see this a lot in wrestling. Like, you know, they'll be like, yeah, next coming up the ring, and you see like Daniel Bryan walking in with his gym bag, and he's got a match in 10 minutes, and you're like, Vince, phone these guys, tell them to come in 2 hours before work to prepare. You know,
I loved Vince turning up 5 minutes before the end of the show.
I'll just tear it up. I'm really looking at the sorted.
Match of night.
So I want to put in Aleister Black versus Seth Rollins, but I'm not purely for the fact that, again, something else I was going to bury that I didn't, was we got another multi-man match involving everybody. So the match of the night is Drew McIntyre, Eric Rowan. Right. Just for that segment, and Drew McIntyre going over as a face, getting the count for the crowd again.
Yeah.
It's got to be that.
Cool. Well, that is it for this week. Neil, thank you very much for coming and joining us in the Marks podcast.
Thank you.
You can be a Mark just like Neil. Just get signed up for the Patreon. Patreon.com/wrestlingdaff. And remember, Rab and Grado will be looking for your buddy and put overs for the show this week. So get us on Twitter @WrestlingDaft, on Insta @WrestlingDaftPodcast, and just WrestlingDaft on Facebook. And they might give you a shout out next week on the show.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Bad news.
Bad, bad,
bad,
bad,
bad,
bad news.
So he's in the studio, so let's give him his big introduction. Once again, let's welcome to a man who can sniff out a wrestling story quicker than a big show heel turn. He's in the studio with us this week. I mean, Alex won't speak over the top of him.
Oh, he will. Oh, he will.
It's Gary Cassidy.
Hello again. It was nice to return after 2 seconds not talking.
So, mate, let's get into Mania matches that are being announced as we speak.
Yeah, so we spoke earlier about the lack of Elimination Chamber of Women's Championship matches, and one that's obviously not got any kind of set kind of format for WrestleMania yet, or any set opponent for Bayley. The SmackDown Women's Championship. So Alex McCarthy of TalkSport put out a couple of wee tweets at the weekend saying that he has heard that WWE is getting set for a six-pack challenge at WrestleMania. Take for that what you will. You could say it's going to be them putting a lot of people on the card, which is what they always try and do. Yeah. So I guess it's going to get there somewhere. But it's said to be Bayley, Sasha Banks, which obviously people thought that was going to be the main singles match, but looks like they could do that down the line maybe at SummerSlam Perfect weekend. Sasha is a face in Boston. But yep, those two are part of the match. The rest is Carmella, Naomi, and Lacey Evans. and you'll notice that's five names I've said there. The other name, an as yet unnamed person, Alex said that he asked about this, and he specifically asked, is it going to be Alexa Bliss? And they said, nope, because she's going to be part of another women's match that involves six people, and that's going to be the Women's Tag Team Championship match. Obviously, Bliss will be tagging with Nikki Cross against the current champions, the Kabuki Warriors. And I think something I mentioned last week, but it didn't quite happen how I thought it was going to be, as the Divas of Doom are going to be involved. So Natalya and Beth Phoenix involved in that one. Again, Alex was quite keen to point out that that was the way things look at the moment. Right. Things can change, of course. But the interesting part about that is that sixth name, the mystery name, a lot of speculation. But now we've got Paige returning on SmackDown. Who knows if it's going to be as a wrestler, as a manager, as the GM, but I think we might at least see a little start to what's going to happen at WrestleMania.
Yeah. She could fit into that sixth spot. Not a lot of heavy lifting to do. It could be a good tryout match to see if she can still hang in the ring. You've got Edge and Bryan coming back from injury. Why can't Paige? We don't know enough about the medical side of it, but...
I guess the other names that you could throw into the mix will be Nia Jax, who looks like she's just about to return.
Let's just not speak about it. Like, Nia Jax Ronda and Tamina are banned on this. Yeah.
So
they wouldn't put Ronda on SmackDown.
I'm going to be very controversial. Well, they might because pop ratings, because, you know, SmackDown.
Yeah, Fox are mad, so they'll need something.
Yeah, but I'm going to do my second name drop of the podcast here. And it was...
I'm going to get a sound effect.
I was going to say that.
Every time, Gary, like an anvil.
But yeah, so as I've mentioned many times, I think, before on the podcast, back in January I spoke to both Triple H and Paige, which resulted in a lot of controversy, about the possibility of Paige returning. And the first one I asked was Triple H about could Edge or Paige return. Obviously Edge has, so I'm not going to believe a word that Triple H said about any of them not returning. But Paige had said throughout the interview, essentially, that she'd love to return to the ring. Hopefully one day was the exact words that she said. But she also said she just wants to be back on WWE TV doing a lot more of the stuff that's not just like backstage. So she's loving backstage, but she wants to be either general manager again or manage someone. And the names that she said about managing, the first one, the main one, was she said she would love to manage Nia Jax.
Yeah, that's good pals, aren't they?
She's spoken before about wanting to manage Ronda Rousey as well. And the other names that she said were Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. But obviously, they're great at talking anyway. And that wouldn't lead into the full confronting Bayley thing.
That
so.
Would make good sense. Jackson Paige would make good sense. And that, in fact, that's probably where they're going with this.
I think it's the only way you can get Jax over at this point. Yeah. I think she's been buried herself too many times over the past.
She needs to be the
years.
Female Brock Lesnar. They need to book her that way.
She's not, though.
But she's not.
She's just not. Yeah. And she never will be. Like, I hate it. Do you know what I mean? They want her in like the Beth Phoenix kind of idea, and she just never will be, in my opinion.
True. Oh, well, then. That's Nia Jax buried from Alex, then.
Yeah, just send in Rhea Ripley, mate. Yeah. Send in Rhea Ripley. Like.
Talk about WrestleMania. There is potential retirement talk around John Cena WrestleMania.
Yeah, this is a weird one. So I saw the headline of this and went, no, no chance. And of course, I had to click on it and see who it was that said
clickbait.
It.
Going,
oh, you got
this is a load of nonsense. Who's saying this nonsense? And it was none other than WWE Hall of Famer Mick Foley.
Okay, yeah, you can.
So I'm not going to argue with it because Mick Foley knows a lot more about the wrestling industry than I ever will. But yeah, Mick Foley essentially said that he thinks they're going to put The Fiend over so strong, and that John Cena's promo on SmackDown was so heartfelt and kind of went so deep into, oh, this is like kind of hinting at his retirement. This is like great to be here in front of fans and stuff, that he's saying where better for John Cena to retire than at WrestleMania against The Fiend, and pretty much put over The Fiend in the best way you can after what happened at, we'll not mention after. But this would be the perfect recovery for him, and that John Cena might retire after facing The Fiend. So, yeah, that's an interesting one.
I mean, say retire in wrestling, is there ever really a retirement?
He'll leave his baseball cap in the ring, and then we'll see him a couple of years later.
We'll see him the year that WrestleMania is in Boston. Like, that's when we'll see him. Or anywhere in Massachusetts, and he'll come back for that year or something.
And we've already talked about Paige's potential comeback, and potentially Jeff Hardy's popping up this week as well.
He is confirmed for SmackDown. So he's been on SmackDown, or he's been at SmackDown, I should say, the past few weeks, but backstage, and obviously hasn't appeared on TV. It was on WWE backstage on Fox last week, I believe it was, and now on Raw, WWE confirmed that Jeff Hardy will be on the show. First time he's going to be there since Matt Hardy's gone for the company.
Do you think he signed a new deal?
See, it's
I
a
think
tough
it depends
one.
On how he books him.
Yeah, but he's there. So WWE have got this thing where if someone's off TV for specific reasons, such as injury or obviously the criminal record stuff, the DUIs, they can just extend the contract for the period that they're off TV.
So he's
so he's still
picture.
Got, from estimations, about 3 months left.
He's probably got about 3 years left. Yeah.
Speaking of Jeff, I've just totally missed the boat on Fantasy Booking Island. I should have been booking Jeff Hardy as the broken Jeff Hardy coming back on Friday
well,
to try and take
it,
away from that.
You just save it just now. You just save it just now. We're going to get to that.
This is where we don't hear from Alex.
Oh, someone already done this on Twitter.
I'm
going to quickly rechange my booking here.
So, I mean, where do you think Jeff could go? Like, in terms of booking, let's just talk about Fantasy Booking. Where does Jeff go? I mean, I don't know. Where do you book him?
Against Sheamus.
Against Sheamus, there we go.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Jeff pumped back up to the main event scene. At the moment, SmackDown doesn't have that big lead babyface apart from Roman. Mm. So would they turn Jeff heel? I think they might by this stage. Put Jeff up there, isn't it?
I'm annoyed that John Morrison's in a tag team because Jeff Hardy, John Morrison is a match I would still want to see.
Yeah.
They might still do it because obviously Miz versus Morrison is going to split up at some point. It doesn't look like it's going to be pre-Mania now.
No.
So, but post-Mania, maybe something for him to do there, potentially?
Who knows? But, fingers crossed, Jeff gets back into some sort of scene, whether that's in WWE or AEW, because he's wasted. Really.
Because it was his last great match against Randy in Hell in a Cell.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, it was really good.
That was really good. And his brother Matt has given us the biggest hint yet. And we've talked about, God almighty, how long have we talked about this? Just fucking turn up.
It's the Matt Hardy Appreciation Podcast now.
It seems to be. So what's the big hint now that he's joining the Dark Order?
If people want to go back and listen to last week or the week before's podcast, I can be quiet for the next couple of minutes and that would be great. But no, essentially, we're still getting a load of teases. The best thing, the major hint that happened was the biggest crossover in wrestling. We had Free the Delete and Being the Elite kind of crossed over last week, and we saw the Young Bucks going to the Hardy compound, and they are going to try and help resurrect the broken character. We know where the Young Bucks are right now, so is that a massive hint? Maybe. Matt Hardy done a little interview, a rare interview since leaving WWE the other day. It was at some convention in New York, and he spoke to Alicia Atu. And they had a little conversation again, didn't give much away, but there was a lovely wee bit at the end where she said, wherever you go next, I hear it's going to be dark. And Matt Hardy said, I'm going to go there and restore a little bit of order. So
just stop it. Just find some Jesus.
There was also I think you posted it on Twitter. Was it the image with the paragraph in it?
Yeah.
And it was spelled out Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy all the way through. And aye.
Just announce it.
For all the rumours, check out Gary's Twitter.
Yeah, do that. Conscious Gary. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Oh, one last thing for the news.
All right, sorry. I forgot one last thing.
There's a very important thing that we need to talk about here, John.
What's that?
And that's the cancellation of New Japan shows.
That's all we've had for the time for the news. Thanks very much. Get your Wrestling Daft merch now. Yes, you can get Wrestling Daft merch. And you have to do that by going to our Spreadshirt shop, which is shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Up there, you'll find lots of catchphrases from the show put on to t-shirt form. So you'll find there, I'ma take a bump for you. You'll find there, Chips, Cheese and Donner Meat. You'll find there, Margaret, There's the Fiend. And of course, our favourite one on this show, I'm a Mark. So you can wear that. I'm sporting it, as I said.
John hasn't taken it off in weeks. He's starting to smell a bit weird.
I know. So you'll get that at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. We'll put up the links on our Twitter and our Facebook as well, so you can check it out there. And if you do buy a t-shirt, send us a picture on social media so we can feature you on this show and the big show with Rab and Grado. You can go straight into our Hall of Fame. There you go. So get on board right now, shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft for your Wrestling Daft t-shirts. Get them, £5. No, they're not £5. They're not See the sun in the sky. Hear the waves lapping on the beach. Welcome to Fantasy Booking Island. It's an island where anything goes. You can see whatever you want in the world of wrestling. You can make it happen right here on this island. Say you don't want The Fiend to go over Goldberg. Yeah, you can make it happen. Say you want, I don't know, Orange Cassidy to appear on WWE television. No bother. On Fantasy Booking Island, anything goes. So sit back, slap on that Factor 15, and kick back on your banana-shaped lyo. And let's listen to the musings of Big Alex as he fancy books this week. What do you call Alex?
Okay, so this week I'm being inspired by this idea of AEW kind of moving towards doing almost a TV pay-per-view-esque episode, kind of once a month, like they're doing the Blood and Guts. Yeah. I think that's to maybe try and bridge the gap between their kind of three monthly pay-per-views. I like it. I think it's a good idea, and I think it keeps people invested in
it's
the
like
product.
It's like in your house, isn't it?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to book something for, say, the end of April. So we've got Blood and Guts at the end of this month, and I'm going to just assume we're going to have Double or Nothing at the end of May. So it slots in quite nicely.
Right, okay.
So they've also been taking a little leaf out of New Japan's book and been starting to factionize a little bit. So they've been introducing more factions here and there. So I'm also going to take a wee stab at that.
Right? Okay.
So this week, what's going to happen? We have a new faction just debuted in AEW called the Death Triangle, or Triangular de la Muerte,
which is
Pac and the Lucha Brothers. So they've got an unannounced match this week. So my idea is that that match is against none other than the Best Friends in Orange Cassidy, which you know, makes a lot of sense. So before this match starts, the Lucha Brothers are seen backstage, and they just casually attack Orange Cassidy. And then Pac comes in to lay the final bro, and he just leaves them in a brutalizer. And so Cassidy's kind of written out the match. So the Best Friends need to find a new partner. So they just casually bump into Joey Janela backstage, and they're like, all right, cool, Joey, you can come out with us. So we've got the match set. We've got the Death Triangle against the Best Friends and Joey Janela. So obviously Death Triangle go over. But at the end of the match, they decide to just focus on Joey Janela, and they just beat the living daylights out of Joey Janela. And he's left lying on the floor at the side. And that's how that match ends.
Right.
The next week, something similar happens. This is where it's going to be slightly less specific. So at some point next week, they just casually beat down Darby Allin. Pretty much for no reason, as they're kind of beating down a couple other people. But they beat down Darby. And the week after, basically, Moxley's doing a nice wee promo in the ring at the start, and who sneaks up behind him? The Bastard, Pac, and just takes him out. So that's your kind of setup. So this is what we're leading into. So we kind of lead here about middle of April, start of April, and the Death Triangle come out, and they're like, we're the fucking best, you know, no one can touch us, we'll take that fucking back lost roster down. And so
that's the best Spanish accent I've ever heard.
Half Spanish, half Chukter. So the three of these guys don't know they're doing this, but just independently, Joey Janela appears from the side to come out to confront them, but at the same time, Darby Allin appears on the ramp and slowly starts rolling down on his skateboard. And at the same time as well, John Moxley appears out of the crowd to start walking through the crowd. So these three men surround the ring. They all look at each other, confused, because they're not expecting to see the other ones there. They do the casual shrug into the ring, start beating them down, right? That segment ends with the three of them arms held. And pretty much from there, the three of them casually decide to start a faction. Which, for lack of a better name, we can call it, I don't know, the Sadism Squad or something like that. Because they all like hardcore wrestling and being badasses.
Right.
You can add Jimmy Havoc into the mix to this later on. Okay. But for the purposes now, I just need the three of them. So essentially, that sets up for your end of pay-per-view, your end of April kind of pay-per-view bonus match. A 3v3 unsanctioned match. Well, it can either be unsanctioned or it can be a Mexican death match. It's up to you, depending on if you want to use the tagline of Paradito de la Muerte Mexicana. But yeah, I think unsanctioned is probably a little bit more AEW style. I mean, you could call the whole show unsanctioned. So your main event would be...
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, so you'd have the unsanctioned show, right? And so your main event would be the Death Triangle versus the newly formed faction of Janela, Moxley, and Darby Allin in a fucking unsanctioned match. Like, that would be absolutely off the chain and absolute chaos. And at the end of that, would have to end with Pac making the fall on Moxley, which then would set you up in a main event of Pac versus Moxley for Double or Nothing. So you get a faction, you get a big match at the end of like a monthly pay-per-view, and you get Chris Jericho and the Elite, and the Inner Circle kind of removed from the title picture.
Right.
That's my booking. That's my booking. How's that, boys?
I like it. I'm looking forward to AEW unsanctioned.
Okay, Gary, are you booking it or are you not booking it?
I'm booking it.
Booking it. Good. I'm glad. I think
John looks unsure.
it needs a little bit of work in the middle of it. I'll admit it was a late idea, considering I was focusing on Daniel's testicles up to this point. And you know what I mean? I kind of like the idea of kind of trying to get like a big hardcore match between people who are just known for being hardcore wrestlers.
Now, the bits I like about it, I like the unsanctioned. I like the where you're going with the match. I like, you know, that whole idea. I don't think we need another faction in AEW. I don't think we need that.
See, I disagree, because now we've got... We originally had a big heel faction and a big face faction. Now we've got two big heel factions, so we need a second big face faction. And people have been like, I think Moxley, Janela, Havoc and Darby would make sense to me as a faction.
The thing for me is Moxley's the world champion at the moment. I don't think he should be in a faction. I think he's got that whole character of he's just like one man on a mission kind of thing. So
that's true.
That's where it doesn't work. That's where it doesn't work.
So how about we just remove Moxley altogether and we just put Havoc in? How's
that?
All right, fair enough. There we go. Right,
we'll get rid of the
main event scene from it, and we'll just do that. Right,
right.
I'm okay with
that. Book that.
Okay, sounds good. We found a compromise.
I have to say thank you very much for that, Alex. It was decent booking. We asked the listeners to get involved in Fantasy Booking Island, and we like to feature one every week here on the show. I love this from Fraser Smith. My booking would be that Hangman Page isn't drinking because he's doing cowboy shit. He's drinking to numb himself to the pain he's going to cause to the Elite when it's revealed that he is the Exalted One for the Dark Order.
No.
The reason for that in my booking is that for him to truly leave the Elite, he has to destroy it. However, at present, he can't reconcile the idea that he has to do this to be free from the Elite, hence why he's still tagging with Kenny, but at the same time, being relaxed about saving them and sticking the finger up at them too.
See, like that's great. I really like that.
Do you like that?
The only thing I dislike about it is he used hence why when they mean the same thing and you only need one of those two words. But that's just a general pet peeve I have with everyone. So
the only thing that I dislike about it is I still keep saying that Hangman Page has to have a stable but is in a building with horses rather than a faction.
he goes on to add, however, feeling that Funaki should be unveiled as the Exalted One just by him saying indeed from underneath the robe. Book that. Like that. And Mark Hodge, I have to read this one as well. Jim Cornette with the Revival versus Kenny and the Young Bucks. The heat would melt the building.
Think Jim can carry a match? Has Cornette ever been in a match? Surely he has.
Yeah, he's taking bumps. He's taking bumps. So that's our Fantasy Booking Island. Thank you, Alex, and thanks for everyone that got involved in that. If you want to get involved in anything on Wrestling Daft, you know where to get us, at Wrestling Daft on Twitter and Wrestling Daft on Facebook. I thank you all. It's now time for the 10 count with the one and only Davey Blaze.
First wrestling match you watched?
First wrestling match I watched was... I don't even know if I can say his name. Chris Benoit and Bret Hart.
Best match you've wrestled in?
It's got to be me and Stevie at the SCCC.
Favourite opponents?
I've got so many good opponents, man. I've got to say, oh Christ, I don't know. I've got the whole ICW locker room. There we go.
Favorite wrestler of all time.
Favorite wrestler of all time, Ric Flair.
Favorite tag team.
The Dudley Boys.
Favorite finishing move.
Rock bottom.
Favorite promo of all time.
I'd probably say maybe the one at the Rock in Stone Cold had, where it was like the backstage kind of segment for leading up to the WrestleMania 17.
Favorite entrance theme?
DX.
Favorite pay-per-view?
WrestleMania 17.
Favorite match of all time?
Favorite match of all time is going to be Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
So that's it for another episode of Wrestling Daft the March. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much to Big Alex.
Anytime, as long as you're slightly more nice to my fantasy booking in future.
Okay, and Gary, thanks very much for joining us in the studio. You're going to come back next week?
I will be, yeah. And that was, I was going to put out a little thing for the Wrestling Daft listeners to tweet at me, because this week I've got a few interviews. Here's more name drops before they happen.
Get that sound effect out.
Before they actually happen, I'll name drop them this time. But I'm interviewing Frank Turner, but I'm going to ask him about Daniel Bryan.
What's the connection between Frank Turner and Daniel Bryan?
Daniel Bryan is a massive mark for Frank Turner.
Shut up, really?
Yes, which makes me love him even more.
That is cool.
Apparently 7 years ago, there was a little kind of story that went about that they were going to do a duet together. So I'm going to ask about that because it didn't seem to come to anything, but I'm going to try and wind that up again. But that was one of the few later in the week, after the main interview that I'm doing, which I'm putting to the end just for a wee tease. But later in the week, I'm interviewing Lita, Gail Kim and Christy Hemme about their new show that they're trying to get off the ground, which is going to be a women's wrestling show, kind of like Glow,
yeah,
but an actual... So there's that. But the main one, which if anyone's got any questions for this person, fully encourage them to tweet at me and let me know what you would ask them. I'm interviewing Drew McIntyre.
How'd you get that?
Well, ahead of WrestleMania...
Gradle's best mate, so many can't even get one interview.
You're just not a reputable news source, mate.
Nah,
so, yeah, ahead of WrestleMania, I'm going to be talking to Drew McIntyre. Obviously, I'm going to be asking him a load of serious stuff, but if anybody wants to tweet me what they would ask Drew McIntyre, please do that at Conscious Gary, ConsciousGary, and let me know what you would ask Drew McIntyre.
Right, okay, right, I've got one for you. Alex, of those three big interviews that Gary's got, right? Okay, pick one.
I mean, I obviously need to hear what Kirsty Hemme's current hair extensions look like. You know what I mean? So,
right, you've got one question and one question only. Give them the question to Gary to pass on. And we'll...
All right, so can you, if we get a large inflatable bottle of Buckfast and if we throw it to Drew post-WrestleMania main event, will he hold it so he can do like the Lewis Capaldi equivalent?
I will ask that.
Yes! Yes!
Unless anyone can beat that question.
Right, okay. No, no, I'll just get one question and one question.
I need to see if I can find if an inflatable bottle of Buckfast exists, because we can't just throw glass bottles of Buckfast at Drew in the main event of WrestleMania.
Health and safety, I like that. Right, you've got to ask Drew that, and we want to hear the response on the show next week, okay? Right, that's your challenge, Gary.
If I get the answer to that, I will forward you on the audio for that, and that can be a Wrestling Daft exclusive.
Fantastic. Love that. Thanks, pal. Rab and Gradle back on Friday with the big show, the main show. They'll have this
the B
week.
Show. The B
well,
show.
We've promised guests for the last couple of weeks. It was maybe Stevie and BT Gunn last week. They had to cancel last minute. The week before, it was maybe Joe Henry had to cancel last minute. This week, I can guarantee that Kid Fight will be on the show.
It's only because you've offered him to set up a merch table outside the podcast.
Exactly, yeah. So Kid Fight will be here selling Rey Mysterio masks. If you've listened to the show, you'll know exactly that joke. Before we go, the list of Wrestling Daft on with Rab and Gradle this week is your favourite promo of all time. Alex, what's yours?
I'm stuck between two. There's the Rock's promo from Armageddon, Six Man Hell in a Cell, but I'm going to not talk about that one because I did get to put the Six Man Hell in a Cell up into the match of the week one week. So it has to be Chris Jericho, the Man of a Thousand Holds. See, it's just such an early, glorious promo. Like, it's good prop work, and this the way that he does it through the advert break, and it just continues. And armbar, that's all I've got to say about that. Just armbar.
Gary, what have you got?
I was also torn between two, but one is something that I think a lot of people will say, and it's the Austin 316 one. So let's just put that to the side.
Right, okay.
I'm going to make everyone hate me right now, because my favourite promo of all time, I actually think it's got to be This Is My Yard Now.
Oh, it's controversial.
That was the Raw after.
So many people booing for such a little word said by Roman Reigns after the Undertaker won.
You can't argue it
did what it needed to do.
At the point, I went, that was really good, but...
I think what you should also do is count how many people use the word pipe bomb when they're telling you what their favorite.
That is true. Yeah,
well.
I can't believe that. No one said pipe bomb.
No one said the pipe bomb.
I think we've all purposely tried to be a bit marquee and not say the big one. Really, if we know.
So that'll be on the list of Wrestling Daft with Rab and Grado this Friday when episode. I think we're up to episode 19 drops, so there you go at 316. Thank you once again, Alex, Gary. We'll be back with the marks. Next week, remember to subscribe on Apple, rate, review us, tell us how bad we are, do whatever you can, but make sure you make it 5 stars. And buy merch and sign up for the Patreon. Thanks for listening to Wrestling Daft the Marks. We'll be back next week. Audio Frontier.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.